Hello, it's Friday, September 29th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're running around like frantic today trying to get everything in line here, having a little bit of trouble with the website, but we're finally here getting ready to do the show. In all honesty, can't wait for the weekend to set in. What we're going to do today, at long last, is give the results of our latest Wing TV poll. It's who is the worst mainstream media talking head. And to help us with this and then a couple other stories, if he can hang on, is Mr. Sam Britton from The Information Corner.
And his website is theinformationcorner.com.
And we just did Sam and Trisha's show on Tuesday. They're two of the most clear-headed, level-headed thinking people out there in the alternative media today, and we can't speak more highly of what they're doing.
They're doing some excellent research regarding the UN and a lot of other issues, too, and we're sorry Trish couldn't make it today. She had some family come in from out of town, but Sam's here with us, so hello, Sam.
Hello. How are you guys all doing today? I know it's frantic there, but we're doing fine here. We're too honored to give up.
You know, Sam, it seems like it's always frantic around here, so it's really nothing different, but we want to thank you for coming on. And we just posted within the last couple minutes the results of our last Wing TV poll. And if you can help us through this, what we're going to do is give the top 10 responses, starting at number 10. So we're going to go in reverse order. And as we do so, what we'll do is just give our comments on each person that's listed. Now, we want to let everyone know that when we originally gave this question, we listed 44 separate individuals who people could choose from, and then also another category called Other. Well, we want to say that, as we've been saying, that 63% of those people listed got responses. So there's a lot of people out there that dislike a lot of people in the mainstream media, and rightly so.
And you know what? There's really no wrong answer to this question because they all are in the same crap heap.
Yeah, and any number of the 44 could have got a number one vote in our opinion. But anyway, Sam, we're going to get started here with number 10.
Well, and first let me say the question. The question for September 8th was, of all the mainstream commentators, newscasters, authors, pundits, and talking heads, which one do you feel is the absolute worst? So, number 10 came in at Laura Ingraham with 2%.
What do you think of her, Sam?
She's a mouthpiece for the neocons, just like so many of the other ones.
Right, and when we were up in New York City, we were talking to somebody, this was over 9/11, we were talking to somebody in the know that's actually met Laura Ingraham, and he said she's a very nasty person when she gets crossed. So she came in with 2%. She was number 10.
Okay. Number 9 was Katie Couric with 3%.
Now, Katie Couric, of course, just took over the CBS Evening News, held by, of course, Walter Cronkite in the past, Dan Rather. And I've only tuned into this show one time. Of course, Katie Couric hosted the NBC Morning Show, which I have to admit, I don't think I ever saw once in my life ever.
I saw it. She's like queen of the softballs, right,
yeah,
Sam?
Queen of the perkies.
Yeah. I mean, she wouldn't know a hard question if it stared in the face.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a lot of hoopla about her hosting the CBS Evening News. I tuned in once. I think it was her second or third broadcast, and I didn't get any overly negative feelings about it. What it was basically like going to the carnival and eating cotton candy is what it reminded me of. You know, I mean, there was just nothing there. And I heard somebody,
it's like playing wiffle ball.
Yeah, and I heard somebody on the news, the radio, say that of each 30-minute broadcast she does, there's approximately 2.5 to 3 minutes of actual news on this show. So, Katie Couric at number 9.
All right, number 8 was a hard hitter, the total opposite of Katie Couric. Charles Krauthammer came in with 4%. Charles Krauthammer, Sam.
Yeah, I don't ever pay attention to half of these guys out there, but I know if they're in positions high up in the establishment media that they didn't get there by playing hardball with anybody, real hardball. Now, they may call these guys hardball, but they're hardball within a certain frame area. They don't get outside their boxes, because if they dare, they're done.
Well,
isn't he a Trotskyite neocon?
He's a neocon. He appears on the Fox News on their Sunday shows, and he's brought in once in a while to do commentary, and he's a former psychologist. So,
that tells you everything.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm sure you're going to know number seven.
Yeah, number seven was Michael Savage with 5%.
Yeah, now he's also known as Michael Wiener,
yeah.
And he's our movie reviewer, Ellen Kirkpatrick.
Loves this guy.
Worships the ground that this guy walks on, and ever since he started listening to him for the last year and a half or 2 years, you can see a dramatic change in him because he's become completely like the mirror image of Michael
Savage.
He
wasn't normal to begin with because our movie reviewer also worships the altar of Hillary Clinton.
Right, right.
See, this is a guy at one time who said that if you disagree with the administration, you should be put in an internment camp. So what do you say there, you know?
Well, since they just passed this new torture bill, Sam, I guess this all falls right in line, huh?
I thought the next guy would have rated a higher percentage. William Crystal of the Weekly Standard. He's also a member of the PNAC.
Infiltrate.
He came in at 6%.
Yeah. Ah.
And his father, of course, is Irving Crystal, one of the really founding fathers of this neocon movement today.
Right.
And when William Crystal comes on Fox News, people better listen because you can see that this is one of the official mouthpieces that either is going to determine or wants to determine the direction that this administration's going.
Yeah.
Number five was Ann Coulter coming in at 7%. I think she's a viper.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I heard Ann Coulter speak once live. We were in the third row, and she actually fielded questions after she gave her little comedy shtick is really what it was. And she got a pretty hot and heavy from the student body there at Penn State University, but she fluffed it off, laughed it all, and you know, she didn't get any pies in the face that day, though.
Okay.
She was saying that is a woman with the weirdest sounding voice she's ever heard.
She
wonders if she looks as weird as she sounds.
Yes, she does. Okay, number four, Glenn Beck. Coming in at 10%. I cannot stand Glenn Beck.
Now, do you know him, Sam?
No, I don't.
Glenn Beck, they just started carrying him, I would say, within the last 9 months or so here in our hometown. And right now, he's shot up to the number three most listened to host. And within the last few months, he also now is appearing on CNN Headline News. So not only does he have the radio bit going, but also
TV.
So this guy, they're giving heavy dosage to this guy now. And if you hear his heavy, heavy neocon shtick, you'll know why.
Right.
They're building him up is what they're doing.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, we're up to the top three here, so we're getting into the real good stuff.
Okay.
Not surprisingly, Bill O'Reilly comes in at number three with 11%. Now, I thought he'd be higher, too.
Well, number three's not bad, but Sam, Bill O'Reilly.
Well, just another one of the many people that get paid to be mouthpieces for this administration. Now, O'Reilly, I haven't quite figured him out. I think he's one of those. Really, I think all these people would just maybe talk up whatever administration was in power because, see, remember, they're all from the CFR. I remember when Bill O'Reilly was on more on the side of the Clintons when the Clintons were in power, and now that we've been bushwhacked, he's, you know, of course, talking up the neocon.
Yeah. Now, I have to give full disclosure here that when I put my vote in, it was for Bill O'Reilly. The reason why isn't because I think he's the most evil or the worst one. My rationale was that of all the people on the list, those 44 names that we listed, of all of them, I thought that the person with the most potential to change things was Bill O'Reilly, and that's why I gave him the vote as being the worst, because if Bill O'Reilly came out and really started speaking the truth in the manner that he spreads his propaganda, just think what an impact that would have on this country.
Right.
And that's why he got my vote as being the worst one.
I can understand that because I know people personally who hang on every word this guy says, which
You're
is
right.
very dangerous. You never do that. That's why we always tell our audience, don't take our word for it. You do your research.
That's right. Very good.
Number two, this was my pick. Sean Hannity. Obnoxious.
Yep.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay. 16%.
So Sean Hannity came in at number two. So both Lisa and Sam, This was the individual they picked. And I have to say, if there's the one that grates on me worse than anybody, it would definitely be Sean Hannity.
They all grate on me. I can't. I just want to, like, grab his face every time I see him, Sean Hannity.
I know. Now, the thing about Sean Hannity is, here's a guy, of course, they're all good at this, but he's particularly good at it.
Uh-huh.
Let's say, Lisa, let's say he's interviewing you on an issue of 9/11, and you start bringing up a controversial point. Well, what he likes to do is talk over you and do everything he can to keep you from getting your message out. He'll just keep walking all over you and not saying anything necessarily substantive, but just walking all over you to try to buy time to keep your message from getting out till the interview is over.
Right. He not only carries the Kool-Aid for the neocons, I think he makes the Kool-Aid, too.
Yeah. Well, and what else he does, Sam, is not only does he talk over, but if that doesn't work, then he resorts to the name-calling.
Right.
I've seen him do this with Professor Jim Fetzer and others who've talked about 9/11 or other issues.
You're unpatriotic.
Or you're a lunatic, or you're crazy, or you're from the fringe, whatever. And all he does is it's just ad hominem attacks.
Absolutely.
Well, see, here's the bottom line, and this I'm glad you brought this up, because this brings up an interesting point. I may disagree absolutely with Jim Fetzer on the issue of global warming, but where he's correct, he needs to be pointed out as being correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, I mean, I guess that could be said for all of us, Sam, that I know we're not going to agree with you and vice versa. You're not agree with us.
And, on everything.
And if everybody agreed with everybody, I'd be very, very worried because somebody's not doing any thinking. But
we don't have to all walk in lockstep in our thinking.
Right. But I think the point you're trying to bring up is that even though we disagree on these subjects, we should still be able to discuss them maturely and rationally, instead of resorting to this just heavy-handed name-calling or just pounding someone into the ground when they want to bring out some truth.
Well, see, and this is what the neocons and all these people out here, and it goes even beyond the neocons, it's just everybody involved in this movement to get us into a globalist society, what they want is an oil cookie bag.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right. And it's so frustrating to us because we don't watch a lot of these talk shows at night, but when we do, it almost makes us run from the room. I got to bring up one point that before we get to number one, when we get back to number eight, Charles Krauthammer, and if Sam, this is a funny story because Michael Langston, he visited us over September 11th. He came and spent a few days with us, and one night we came back and I just turned the TV on. And it was one of these Sunday talk shows. Well, Charles Krauthammer was on the panel, okay? Well, Michael was in the living room watching this, and I left the room, had to do something. I came back in, and the TV was turned off. And I was like, Michael, what happened? You turned the TV off. He says, Charles Krauthammer is so ugly that I had to turn him off. And I don't think he meant only physically. I think he meant morally, spiritually, ethically. And I think the same could be said for all these guys, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, the only thing I can say is at least he didn't throw something at the TV and make himself an extra expense, I guess. But at least the only thing he did was turn it off.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty funny because he said, this guy is so ugly, I couldn't stand it anymore. And he was
actually,
right.
You know, him and William Crystal, they really exude this palpable evil vibe.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They really do. Okay, I don't know if we have a drum roll.
Well, I'll do a drum roll here. Number one, what we've all been waiting for, the worst mainstream media talking head is
Rush Limbaugh with 19%.
Now, Sam, he's still the big kahuna, it looks like.
Yeah, and I used to listen to him at one time, and thank God I'm married to a woman who has a lot of sense, because she was the one that told me I wasn't getting everything from Rush, and Trish, I have to actually say, is the one I have to give credit for getting me on the path of the UN stuff, and one thing led to another, and now if I tune back into Rush, I feel like I need to take some Dramamine or something.
Now, Sam, let me ask you, are you surprised that the Wing TV voters elected him number one?
Not really, because if you listen to him, it would be a good pick across between Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh because they're both absolute mouthpieces. They both get paid handsome amounts of money in order to do what they do. And this is a thing that is a point that needs to be well taken here, and that is that in most cases, whenever you know somebody is making large amounts of money for doing of the time can spell disaster. And I can remember one time Rush Limbaugh saying that he was only in this for the money. That's what he said. I'm in this to make money. And I'm saying, you know, if you're in this only to make money, then you're in sad shape, because we don't earn a penny off what we do. In fact, we have to pay to get our show on the air, and I know you guys do too.
Right.
And that's where the real meaningful people come in, because our work is a mission. His work is just to earn a paycheck.
Well, but Sam, you have to understand, you and we don't have OxyContin habits, and Rush does.
It does take a lot to support that. And you know, that Rush still does have an audience of 20 million listeners. He's number one in the country. He did do TV for a short while, but this is a guy that's still number one in ratings without doing a TV show. And it seems like most of these radio guys have also shifted over to TV now. You have Hannity, O'Reilly, Glenn Beck.
You know what I thought was surprising? Mike Gallagher, they were promoting on Fox for a while, and I guess he did a bomb because he's not on there anymore,
yeah.
Filling in for Sean Hannity, and he didn't even rate in the top 10 of our poll.
Yeah, so everybody can't fill those shoes. So anyway, there it is, the Wing TV top 10 mainstream media shills by you, the Wing TV voters. We want to thank everybody that took the time to vote in this. And I was really excited about it. I saw the results unfolding, and there'd be shifts from one day to the next, and one would go up, one would go down. But
I thought it was more fun than exciting, because to me, they all are in the crap pile, all of them.
Yeah, and you know, Rush, though, was pretty much at the top the whole time. So it seems like, as regrettable as it is, he's still the big kahuna.
And there's so many more that are left out, right, Sam? Like Wolf Blitzer and...
Oh, yeah. In fact, you could just take the whole mess. We could take a whole mess, go out and buy a bunch of hefty trash bags and throw them all in there, and we'd have to put that bag inside of another bag and tie them both up because the stench would be so bad. Yeah.
There is one person that I want to say I do like in the mainstream media, and I think he's the only one. Lionel.
That's right.
On WOR 710 AM. He's the only one asking the hard questions and talking about 9/11 and putting out information that runs counter to what the government is spinning and the rest of his colleagues in the mainstream media.
Yeah, and we had the privilege to meet him in person up at Ground Zero over September 11th. Now, Sam, if you can hang on for a little bit, we have a couple more stories.
Absolutely.
All right, this I think is very interesting. Is you're well aware of Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist who's been disgraced, who's going to be imprisoned here shortly. It's been revealed now yesterday that he had more than 400 different contacts with officials in the White House between 2001 and 2004. We know that when this whole story broke, the White House was trying to distance themselves from Jack Abramoff. Now it's reported he's had over 400 meetings with White House officials, 9 direct meetings with Karl Rove. So what are your thoughts on that, Sam?
Well, a lot of times you're left not knowing what to think, because nothing is ever as it seems. But one thing's for certain, I think what you have here basically on the surface is these guys will ever so often roast one of their own as a fall guy, and the real true people that are the real menace stay on top. You know, I mean, you see this all the time, where you'll have a fall guy that will take the brunt of something so that the people in the higher end can remain protected. I can think of cases of stuff I know when we're not doing our show, we listen a lot of times to shows like yours and Michael Corbin's, and he's been covering the child sex ring that's been coming down from the UN, and he said that one of the problems they have in investigating that is the minions on the bottom, which are called feeders, are the only ones you can get to, and the ones on the top stay protected, and that seems to be the way all the crime is done in the establishment. There's always a nucleus that stays protected, but there's always little shavings that fall off every so often just so they can give the public the appearance that, oh, we're doing something about these crimes.
You know, that's a good point. Everyone should keep that in mind, because even though one of these people have taken the fall, there's so many others that not only are going to replace them, but as you said, those at the top remain.
And well, that's just the scratching of the surface, and that's basically what the mainstream media does with every story.
Yeah. Exactly. And what Abramoff was doing, I guess, is not only bribing these people with money, but he'd also give concert tickets, tickets to sporting events, and so forth. And I guess another big player in this was Ken Mellman, who was the former Republican National Committee director. So a very interesting story.
It's kind of hard to distance yourself with that amount of contact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Sam, here's another story that's very, very interesting. Bob Woodward, you're well aware of him.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that I don't put any faith whatsoever in. But it's very interesting because what we have to do with the mainstream media is if you take an entire story and look at it as like a pie graph, 90% plus is going to be garbage or so forth, but there's usually one little gem in there that you can pick out. So Bob Woodward has a new book coming out that's about the Bush administration and how they're covering up the true violence of the war in Iraq. Well, the point that really stuck out is that Woodward said that a frequent visitor to the White House that always confers with Bush and Cheney is none other than Henry Kissinger. Now, isn't that interesting that here's one of the guys at the top of the control pyramid, and he's the one that has the hands-on access to Bush and Cheney? What do you think?
He always keeps resurfacing, guys. I mean, you know, even though the public rejected him when he was appointed as part of the 9/11 investigation,
right,
he still keeps resurfacing. This guy nothing ever happens to this guy, and this is one of the guys that I would qualify as the protected part of the nucleus.
Yeah, he's part of the inner circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And, you know, there's been other presidents that have had these Bilderberg or these globalist point men with direct access. With Bill Clinton, it was Vernon Jordan.
Uh-huh.
Remember, he was in
Ova
one of
and Ova and Ova.
Yeah. And with Jimmy Carter, Zygmunt Brzezinski.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan, of course, had George Bush Sr.,
uh-huh,
who was as inside as anybody. So so now Woodward reveals that this inside guy that's pulling the strings is none other than Henry Kissinger. And a quote from Woodward, it's saying, this is about the war in Iraq. He says, it's getting to the point now where there are 900 attacks a week. That's more than 100 a day. That's 4 attacks every hour in Iraq. And, of course, when we turn on the TV and listen to Bush's press conferences or the talking heads, everything's going good. We're making great progress.
Yeah, you know what? It's going swimmingly, Sam, because it's costing almost $2 billion a week now to have war in Iraq.
And
swimmingly.
Now, what do you think now? I mean, Bush is pretty much, he's dug his heels in to such an extent that he says, I don't care if the whole damn world disagrees with me, and the only people still on my side are his wife, Laura, and his dog. He says he's not going anywhere. And if you listen to Hillary Clinton, she sounds as much like a war hawk now as the neocons.
What about what Kissinger said? Military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns for foreign policy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This guy, and this is also the guy who said over in France back in 91, I forget where it was in France now, but he said that today if UN troops were on the streets of Los Angeles, the people would be outraged. But tomorrow, if there were a threat, whether real or promulgated, then they would be grateful, for then they would look to their New World Order to save them.
Wow, and that's so telling because it's absolutely true. Now, before we get to this last story, Sam, tell everybody again how they can find your website, how they can listen to your radio show, and any other pertinent details.
Okay, you can find it all at www.theinformationcorner.com, and make sure you put the in there. That's the most common mistake we hear all the time because we get these people say, yeah, I tried going to your website at informationcorner.com, and I didn't get it, you know. And I keep telling people, if you don't put the in front of Information Corner, you're going to wind up in somebody else's corner.
Yeah, that's right. So that's called The Information Corner. And how can I listen to your...
.com,
right. And how can I listen to your radio show?
Okay, you can listen. We do a live... Usually it's an hour live. We got started a little late for some reason this past Tuesday night, but you can listen live Tuesday nights from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll just give it all in Eastern time. And now sometimes here lately, the guy who runs Dixie Broadcasting has been leaving us on for 2 hours, so sometimes you'll hear us from 10 p.m. to 12 p.m.
Excellent.
And that's been a good thing. You guys were on, we got started just a tiny bit late, but he ran us for 2 hours last Tuesday night and 2 hours the Tuesday before. So sometimes it'll happen. Now, if you miss that Tuesday night slot, we're re-aired again on Dixie Broadcasting, which is where we're linked to over there. And that is from 11 p.m. to 1 p.m., 11 a.m., I'm sorry, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern during the morning into the afternoon. And then during the evening, it's from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
All right.
And you have archives, right, Sam?
Oh, yeah, and we're adding more and more all the time. And with the new server they just put on, we're not knocking them off anymore, so you can go back a long way.
Okay. And they can access all that off of your website also?
That's right. You can. There's two ways of doing it. You can either stream it. There's the streaming link, or you can download the individual files if you're on a connection, or if you're one of those iPod people out there, you can pull it down and stuff it in your iPod and listen to it on the go.
Excellent.
Very good. Now, to close out the show today, Lisa came up with a very interesting story. That,
well, actually, it's being sent around today. Yeah. It's No Arabs on Flight 77, and it's written by a doctor named Thomas R. Olmsted, who did a FOIA request for to the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, the people who identified remains from 9/11. 14 months after that FOIA request was sent in, he received a response, and it looks like there were no Arab names on the list. In fact, the list he received from the FOIA request doesn't jive with the government's initial list or with American Airlines' list that they gave to CNN.
Yeah. Now, what do you think this means when there are people that are still saying or trying to justify that Flight 77, the actual Flight 77, crashed into the Pentagon, just like the government's official story? And how does it affect them?
Well, what's interesting, too, is how a lot of people are boo-hooing the remote-controlled technology aspect, the theory that remote-controlled planes might have been used on 9/11. But yet it turns out that Raytheon's Global Hawk has flown 7,000 miles. According to an article in Air Force Public Relations or something magazine, Raytheon also produces these planes for FedEx. FedEx uses remote-controlled airplanes, so the technology is available. We're not saying we know for sure they used remote-controlled technology, but let's not be disingenuous or kid ourselves. They do have the capability to do that.
Well, absolutely they do, hands down. And, I mean, the point that people have to understand in the climate in which we live in today, and I'll say this on your broadcast like I say on ours, whenever this government tells you anything, you always check it out and second guess it. I always say if a government bureaucrat in this day in which we live tells you it's raining, you better stick your hand back outside to make sure it isn't a bird peeing in your hand.
Yeah. This article also gets into the hijackers. The Saudi Arabian embassy has confirmed several of them to be alive. The Saudi Foreign Minister Al-Fazal said that several of them have been proven to not have had anything to do with 9/11, and he told this to the Arabic press. And it goes on and on. I think we're going to have this article linked on our website, right? Sam, if you haven't read it yet, you need to get into it. I urge everybody to read it. It's quite interesting, and I don't know why they would even give up a list like this guy with a FOIA. Yeah. And he doesn't know either.
Yeah. And Sam, let me run this by you, because I talk to people about 9/11 all the time. And as we've talked on your show quite often about 9/11, but when I explain to them that the government's official story is bogus, when I explain to them how this was an inside and an outside job, and when I finally say, like, don't you get it that your government played a large part in running this whole show and in doing this whole thing? Our government, or at least a small cabal within our government, did 9/11 with some outside help from Israel, as I point out in 9/11 Evil. Sam, why don't people seem to have the outrage that we have when this information's laid in their lap?
Well, I'll tell you, we're running into this on so many fronts. The 9/11 issue is just a microcosm of what we're running into. I mean, that's a part of the problem. We're trying to alert people all around us of things that are coming down the pike, and they don't even want to accept that. I mean, we've had people try to blow us off, and we start trying to tell people things that are going on. I think what it is that, and this is only speculation on my part, but what you have is you have a certain element of people out there, if they understand this for what it really is, then they can't just sit back 2,500 people. And when it comes to any local issue in this town, we have had only between 12 and 14 people at best get involved in anything. Now, the Waterwell meeting that we had a couple of years ago, I think we told you about that meeting that we had when we filled up the Lions Club Hall over here over the issue of them wanting to meter water wells here.
Uh-huh.
Most of those people were from out of town. We had very few people, relatively speaking, from here in town. And I hear so many excuses of people who will try to just justify every reason that they don't want to get involved. Everything from, well, either that can't possibly be true, so they'll go into denial. That's one thing. Or I've actually had people tell me that, well, if I get involved, I might get retaliation against my business or something like that. And I'm saying, you idiot. There were people at one time that gave everything they had
right.
just so we could have the freedoms that we have today, and you're sitting there worried about something as small as that?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And the last couple minutes, Sam, I know you follow this issue. We have this NAFTA superhighway coming into this country. Give us an update on where it stands and what the people in this country should expect.
Okay, well, first of all, right now, I'm going to give you some places to watch on that front. One is Texas. They are so mad in Texas that if the tars and feathers were around, that governor would be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they are hopping mad down there. Also, there are a lot of people starting to wake up in the Kansas City area, because that's where the Kansas City folks were privileged to have a Mexican customs office at taxpayers' expense, and it was going to be sovereign territory for Mexico. Boy, don't you just love it.
Gosh.
And the people up there are starting to wake up and say, hey, we won't ask anything about this. And so there are some people starting to wake up, and at least in that regard. Now, the thing that I want to leave your audience with, one thing here most of all, because this is one area where we are having problems. If you want to get involved and see how you're really being sold out, attend your local city council meetings. Do that. We are getting surprised every single week that we attend a city council meeting at the way they rubber stamp everything and rope us into things that we have no business getting into.
Uh-huh.
Your towns have their hands out. They'll take every grant known to man. And what they don't know is that the government's going to come back later and is going to try to force them to adopt various types of things like international building and maintenance codes and stuff that, you know, on an international basis. And I'm telling you, in towns, folks, where this has been done, where they put these codes into effect, we have been hearing stories of people that have been charged as much as $5,000 for just having a dented downspout on a house.
Man,
wow,
man.
That's, you know, we were talking about this stuff yesterday, economic blackmail.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me just leave you real quick with why this is happening, and then you'll have more of a real understanding as to why you need to fight this. This nation is bankrupt. We are long since bankrupt to the tune of billions of dollars, okay? If you were to come out and tell the general public that, well, we have to take all the resources from the general public to pay the national debt, they would be outraged. There would be riots in the streets. There's no way people would tolerate it. But if you can pass all kinds of phony scam legislation and tell people that, oh, it's for your safety,
uh-huh.
Why, you wouldn't turn down anything for your safety now, would you?
Yeah, well, you know, just like with the war on terror and everything else, it's
you
all
got it.
It's all done to protect us,
Sam. Let me
ask
you a question, Sam. So say you get charged $5,000 for a dented downspout and you don't pay it. What happens?
Well, the stories we've been hearing is that people have literally been kicked out of their homes and in some cases have not even been able to go back in for their belongings. This is how serious this is getting because, see, what they do when you read through these codes, the code enforcement officer, they're not inspectors anymore, guys. They're enforcement officers. They have the last word on everything, and if you read in the the International Property Maintenance Code, you have no recourse. If he says it's done, not even the sheriff can intervene if everybody chooses to handle this law the way it is written. So this is why you have to stand up and fight this stuff, because folks, if you don't have property, you don't have anything. All the freedom of even freedom of speech is not very good. It's good, but if you don't have a place took you out of everything, then what are you going to do? You've got to have, you've got to stand up for your right to own and protect your own property.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't get to that point where people get ousted out of their homes, but that will be one way to get them out into the street hopping mad, won't it?
You got it, absolutely, you got it.
And this NAFTA superhighway coming into this country is bad news. We'll certainly keep you updated. But we'd like to thank Mr. Sam Britton from TheInformationCorner.com. He does a great radio show down
along
there.
Along with his wife, Trish. And please give our regards to Trish. She'll be on next time with you.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And Sam, thanks for sitting down with us and going over our top 10 mainstream media shills. We very much appreciate it.
All right, you guys hang in there. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Have a good weekend.
And everybody out there that's tuned in, we want to thank you. Have a good weekend. Thank you for your input. We have another poll that's on the Wing TV homepage, as well as another new updated article on what's going on at RBN. So until Monday, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all on Monday.